When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, into the 7 o'clock hour we go. The Texans lose last night, 26-23. We're getting bludgeoned with the highlights on TV because it was the Sunday night primetime game. Hell of an energy.
Yeah, everybody's, hey, everybody, look at what you missed if you went to bed last night. Yeah. Fireworks in the second half. Jared Goff. Did he bring him back? Not really.
Look at this. Here's the field goal. Look at that, Seth. You can see like it.
That one genuinely doinked a little.
Yeah, yeah.
The first one, I'm not sure if there was any doinkage or not. Like a molecule of the ball might have hit the goalpost. The second one, there was a little mini doink. Hit a micro doink.
Yeah. Jared Goff, 5 picks last night. So let's get into this. We will go through the twists and turns from last night's game. And let's start with the first of the Jared Goff 5 picks. This was exactly the start you wanted to get off to if you were the Houston Texans.
It'll be second down and 11. Next snap, 13:15 to go. First quarter, opening drive of the game. Lions have it, driving toward the north end zone. Second and 11 from the Detroit 41-yard line. Gibbs in the backfield, Goff in the gun. Two receivers wide side right. Here's the snap to Goff, looking, firing. Tipped in the air and intercepted. Texans have it at the 35-yard line of Detroit. Jimmy Ward off the carom with the pick.
So Jimmy Ward gets the interception, sets the Texans up.
Yeah, and there was a great job by Petrie, who, man, he had a hell of a first half, especially. But
that looked like something that they saw in film.
Well, that one, right, yeah. Like, Jalen Under knew what the tendencies were, and instead of turning towards the quarterback, he just got right in the passing lane. You could see he just went straight upfield. So the combination of Jalen Petrie just becoming a savvy veteran who's really good in most of what they ask him to do, and last night especially, and then Jimmy Ward just being on the spot and anticipating it as well. That was great. That was great. Sign of great things to come, Sean.
Sign of great things to come in the first half.
If you were to say, hey, that's a first of 5
interceptions,
I would have said like, oh wow, did the Texans even play their starters in the fourth quarter?
Right. So that was a great start. The Texans would go on to get the ball there. 8 plays, 33 yards. Joe Mixon goes in for a touchdown. Texans go up 7-0. They come back out, 3 and out for the Lions. So now you're getting the ball back. Texans get the ball back at their own 43-yard line. That was when I think Steven Sims had the nice return to get him near midfield. And this was the play here where I'm like, okay, they can really, really pounce on these guys early if they can capitalize on this play. This was a 36-yard catch and run from Joe Mixon. A little short pass to Joe Mixon from C.J. Stroud that he took down inside the 5.
Second down, and we'll call it 9 from the Lions' 40-yard line. Empty backfield now for C.J. Stroud, but here comes Mixon to join him in the backfield as Dell will do the same. Split backs. Second and 9 at the Detroit 40. C.J. takes the snap. Here's pressure. And a quick pass to Mixon, left side. Has a little room, 35, cutting right, 30, 25, all the way to the right sideline, 20, 15, 10, 5, and down inside the 4-yard line, Arnold.
All right, so you got first and goal at the Detroit 3. So now it's like, all right, you can get a 14-0. You got a pick and a 3 and out on Detroit's first 2 drives. The crowd is into it. You're on the road. First and goal at the 3. And you immediately get a holding penalty
on
Juice Scruggs.
Oh, and one that I mean, DJ Reader maybe could have gotten in on the tackle, but it was that play wasn't killed because of DJ Reader, so it was a needless hold. I think that the outcome of that play would have been the same whether or not DJ Reader got help.
You can't hold when you're goal to go inside the five.
No.
And the 10 yards that get tacked on are a complete game changer.
And he got tagged with two holds in that game last night.
And in horrible spots.
Yeah.
You know, just in horrible spots. CJ would go on to get sacked on third down. They'd have to settle for a field goal there. So still up 10-0. Still feeling pretty good about things. But Detroit would come back. Henry Toa Toa got matched up with Sam Laporta, and here's what happened.
Goff in the gun. Gibbs in the backfield with him. Second and five at the Houston 20. Three receivers wide side right. Four-man front for Houston. On second and five, Goff fakes to Gibbs. Steps out to his right. Airs it out downfield and caught. Touchdown, Laporta. 20-yard TD pass as Detroit gets on the board.
Yeah, just way too easy.
It was way too easy, and it wasn't on a blitz or anything. Laporta just runs by Henry Toa Toa, and that was it. We didn't see that matchup exploited again in the game. And for the most part, in the first half, the pass rush was really good. But that was one you live with. I mean, at times that's what's going to happen. Your linebacker's going to get matched up with somebody, and you know, Toa Toa is not going to always lose that. But it happens. It happens.
Yep.
And in the context of everything else the Texans defense was doing in the first half, I wasn't overly distraught over
right.
that.
Right. Texans get the ball back. Well, the first half continues. The Texans tack on a couple more field goals. It's 16-7.
Yeah.
There's a lot of debate up in the press box as to how to handle the last 2 minutes of the half here. When the Lions got the ball with a little under 2 minutes to go, and they were being a little bit conservative. It looked like the Lions just wanted to go to the locker room. So on third and eight, or preceding third and eight, after the Lions ran Jahmyr Gibbs off the left side for a yard to set up third and eight, D'Amico Ryans decided to use his second time out there with about 1:09 left. And Detroit throws incomplete on third down. So now the Texans get the ball back at their own 34 with 54 seconds to go. And unlike previous drives right before the half where D'Amico looked like he was playing for field goals, they were fairly aggressive here. They were throwing here. They throw to Mechie for 9 yards. They throw to Mechie for 25 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're down in, you know, now they're in Detroit territory. They're at the Detroit 32-yard line. So it's like, all right, they're going to come away with at least 3 points here. They hit Dalton Schultz, C.J. Stroud does, for another 17 yards. So now you're in the red zone. And a few plays later on 3rd and 10 at the Detroit 15, here you go.
3rd down and 10 at the Detroit 15. Stroud shotgun, Dari in the backfield with him. Here's the snap. C.J. looking. C.J. firing to the end zone. Caught. Touchdown. John Mechie. Hello, end zone. The Texans score right before the half. What a...
Boy, and that was a beautiful throw. I mean, that's what CJ, he is still that guy. He's still made great throws in this game. He's made incredible throws over the last few weeks. The pass protection was adequate on that play. There was pressure and there was seepage, but he had a pocket and he moved to the left a little bit inside the pocket and then put the ball perfectly between the safety and the cornerback on that. It was a great throw. It was textbook. It was everything that CJ Stroud's capable of doing when he's got other guys working well around him.
That felt like such a breakthrough moment for me for this team. That whole drive, you know, that CJ spreading it around to, you know, Mechie had three catches on that drive.
Yeah.
Dalton Schultz, you know, with the big chain mover there. That they moved it down, that they were so aggressive when they've been so conservative at the end of halves, that they make it 23-7 at the half, and you've got the ball coming out to start the second half.
Right.
Like, that's where I felt like, all right, this is the breakthrough game. They're gonna, you know, and you gotta do some good things in the second half, but man, what a way to go into the locker room at the end of the half with that touchdown.
Right. With even just, it was frustrating in the first, you know, 1 2/3 part of that half. Because the Texans' offense wasn't really capitalizing on all these opportunities. They were, you know, they were settling for field goals. Boy, this was, all right, end of the half, go down, score a touchdown, boom. Exactly how you're supposed to do it.
Yep.
This is the Texans' night.
That is,
and nobody can convince me otherwise.
That's how I felt at the time, man.
I ate a hot dog. That's what I did.
Big.
That's how happy I was.
That's how you celebrated.
I ate a hot dog,
so you celebrated the Mechie touchdown.
Yeah.
So they come out of the half. Texans get the ball. And all those good feelings I had going into the half took one play for them to go away.
C.J. Stroud huddles them up. Texans lead 23-7 to open the third. Bunch formation right, one back Joe Mixon. Motion by Dell to the left side. No Nico Collins tonight. Now Stroud backs out in the gun from the 30. First down, CJ to throw. Quick throw left side, intercepted. Diving pick, and they got it at the 32-yard line. Davis with the INT, jumped the route, and Detroit, just like that, is in Houston territory.
There you go.
I'm watching the all-22 of it right now, and I don't know how CJ, what he thought that cornerback was doing, but he had outside leverage, and he's the zone corner there, and it looks like exactly what CJ should have expected to happen happened. That was bad. It was just bad.
Yeah. Very first play.
I mean, he must have I'm guessing he anticipated something else, but there wasn't really anything to pull that cornerback. There wasn't like another receiver hadn't gone inside that CJ might have thought that cornerback was going to cover. That was a weird one.
Yep. You don't see that out of CJ Stroud very often.
No.
You know, just ill-advised throws like that. So this game would get weird for a while, though, because the Texans, Kamari Lassiter, would intercept a pass shortly thereafter to get the ball back at the one-yard line. They exchanged interceptions. You know, the first handful of possessions in the second half, all interceptions for either team. The second interception for the Texans, this is C.J. Stroud's second interception. I thought this was the biggest play of the game for me. Because if C.J. Stroud just makes what we've become accustomed to being a normal C.J. Stroud throw to what was a wide-open Tank Dell,
yeah,
the Texans are up 30-13, and I think they go on to win this game. They'd be up 17 points with a ton of momentum, crowd into the game with about 8 minutes and change to go in the third quarter. I think they win this game if they score a touchdown there, but it didn't happen.
Baxton and I, second and four at the Detroit 30. C.J. fakes the give. Boots out to the right, trying to set up, airs it out downfield, and intercepted, threw it late, got picked off, unbelievable, Davis again with the pick.
Can't go late, he went absolutely late, you've got to anticipate that throw, or who's going to come open, set your feet earlier, and Tank Dell is dancing all the way to Cullen Avenue if he throws it earlier.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lazy, sloppy throw.
It was, and it is, as Andre was exactly right. I mean, from the time CJ should see that coming open, I mean, it looked like when Damian Pierce was struggling with the outside zone run game, where when he decided to cut upfield and go, he took like four steps to do it,
yeah,
and it was late. That's what CJ looked like. Like, he took four steps after he should have realized, oh, plant my foot and hurl this thing.
Yep.
And even after he did do it, because of the hesitancy and because there were the defensive lineman was that much closer up in his face at that point, he couldn't take a full step into it, didn't have his base set up, and he just lobs it to him. And he pointed out, as many Lions fans were keen to do last night, it's always fun when the quarterback points out his interception. You know, it's just, like before he threw it. He's pointing.
Yeah.
Basically telling the safety where to go, or telling what's his name, the cornerback, where to go. The guy that they torched last year against Tampa.
Carlton Davis.
Thank you, Carlton Davis.
Carlton Davis
revenge game.
Big
I got to look at his post-game comments. I'm wondering if he said anything.
He had, for those who don't remember what Seth's referring to,
yeah,
he was on Tampa Bay last year. He had one of the worst individual games I've seen a cornerback have at NRG Stadium.
Yeah.
On the Texans or on an opposing team. He was abysmal in that game last year. He was, again, he was one of the differences in that game
yeah.
last night.
I don't look at anybody. He was born in 1996.
Okay.
December 31st, 1996.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no excuse that well after the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was already a cultural
icon. Oh, you're wondering if he's named after him.
No, I don't think he was named after him, but you can't name your kid Carlton after Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
No.
Ever. There's just not too much, I don't know.
It's not hip.
Yeah, it's...
at all.
And yet there he was, Carlton, kicking our ass, doing his goofy little dance.
Two great picks, man. Two great
Carlton.
Picks by him. Yep. So the second half would go on. There's no real highlights to play for Texans scoring because there was no scoring for the Texans in the second half of this game. The last two highlights I'm going to play, one is a Texans on offense highlight, air quotes.
Mm-hmm.
The other is a play that I think epitomized the difference between these two teams last night. I'll start with the first one. Texans are up 23-20. So you would hope that the offense kind of gathers themselves. They're getting the ball back with about 11 minutes to go in the game. And hey, guys, you know, we've let this thing, like many games in the past, we've let this get a little too close again. Let's make this different. On national TV, let's go get a touchdown. You know, let's go make this a two-score game again. So the Texans get the ball at their own 30 to start. This was right after David Montgomery had scored the touchdown to make it 23-20. And they get to their own 47-yard line. And from there, they get to 2nd and 15. There was a Cade Stover false start. 3rd and 10 at the Houston 47. And here's what happened.
So it's 3rd down and 10 from the Houston 47. Play clock down to 8. Here's Stroud in the gun with one back. Three receivers left.
Got two man here.
Stroud gets the snap. C.J. with pressure. C.J. scrambling out to the left, now back to the right, runs into Titus Howard. Ball comes out. Somebody's got to fall on it. Texans have it inside their 35-yard line. A disaster on 3rd down.
Titus has got to stop watching and quitting on plays, watching the action when he gets himself beaten. That's what happens when you just stop and start watching and somebody's still playing. You're trying to get out of the way. You run right back into him.
It looked like Titus almost pulled the ball out trying to
Mark, it happens way too much.
It was, and he did. Like, and that was before they had seen the replay that showed Titus Howard actively stripping the ball from C.J. Stroud. He thought, oh, C.J.'s dishing me the ball. C.J. tried to hold on to the ball.
Yeah, C.J.'s just
poor ball security, C.J.
He's trying to go down and let the team punt.
You got
to
understand that your offensive linemen are going to be aggressively swatting at that ball. It looked like they were doing a practice drill.
Dude,
you know, like, hey, try to swat the ball out of CJ's hands.
Obviously, Titus was trying to rip the ball out of his hand so he could, you know, take it and run with it,
Rumble for glory, I guess.
Have you envisioned in your mind what that would look like if Titus Howard were able to take that ball from CJ and then turn upfield and start running?
The worst possible outcome would be if it actually worked. That would embolden him to try more nonsensical stuff like that again in the future.
How far do you think Titus could make it?
I feel like he had a flashback to back when he was a quarterback.
That's the only explanation.
You know, it's like, yeah, in his mind, he was going to find somebody. And like if he threw the ball downfield, there wouldn't be an illegal offensive lineman downfield. Titus Howard himself, you know what he should have done? Should have stripped it from CJ, and then Titus himself would have found a way to hold somebody as he threw the ball. He would get credited for the strip sack, the fumble recovery, the pass attempt, but also the holding that negated the pass attempt.
Dude, just brutal. Just absolutely brutal. All right, one more play. We get the music going again, Byron? We got the music. I need the mood music this morning, dude. Yeah, thank you.
It lifts me up.
Thank you, yeah. Last play, and I thought this epitomized the difference between these two teams last night, is that the Texans needed to kick a field goal and convert a 3rd and 4 to win this game. They didn't do either. The Lions needed to convert a 3rd and 6 and kick a field goal to win this game. They did both. This was the 3rd and 6 to set them up in field goal range.
All right, here's Vinovich to tell us something. No, Detroit huddling up. 23-23, 1:40 to go, fourth quarter. Detroit with a 3rd down and 6 at the Houston 48-yard line. Here's Goff in the gun, bunch formation right. He has Gibbs to his left on 3rd and 6 at the Houston 48. Here's the snap to Goff. Goff with time over the middle. Got a man, St. Brown, and he's down to the 37-yard line, tagged by Aziz with 1:33 to go.
And the Texans, obviously the Lions, will go on to kick a field goal shortly thereafter and win the game. I was thinking about this, like the aggressiveness of Dan Campbell that you and I had talked about throughout the week, where he's not afraid to fake punt.
Right.
He's very aggressive on fourth downs and things like that. We didn't see, probably the biggest example we saw of that was when he decided to kick the game tying field goal from 58 yards.
Yeah.
I thought for sure they were punting there.
Mm-hmm.
But he decided to kick a field goal from 58 yards, and he was rewarded for that.
There was a potential fourth down situation there where they got a generous spot at the second in the fourth quarter, but credit Dan Campbell for just going out and playing their game. I think maybe when you start to try to do something desperate like that, or you know, Campbell just does it not out of desperation, but does he's aggressively wired. I think it's a little bit of a vote of confidence for your quarterback. Mm-hmm. You're saying also, you know, when your quarterback gives up an interception at the end of the half on a Hail Mary, that like there's a little bit of self-sacrifice in there. A lot of quarterbacks might have just tried to, run it, like just to errantly throw it or what have you. That goes on the chart. His five interceptions, really, it was four interceptions. And really, you could almost call one of them a sack, the Denico Autry strip, like just as the arm was coming forward. Yeah. But yeah, it's a vote of faith in your quarterback that despite all of this going wrong, listen, we don't need to bail you out with trickery. We're just going to beat him on the football field, which is what they ended up doing.
Yep. I'm guessing there was zero panic in that locker room, even when they were down 23-7 at the half. That's a really good football team. The Detroit Lions. All right, so that's our run back through that game through the voice of Mark Vandermeer. Let's acknowledge some big performances from over the weekend. If you want to text in some acknowledgments, I'm willing to take a few on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. All right, the Texans lost last night, but I do feel like there are a couple of Texans acknowledgments that we need to get to. One is, the first one is John Metchie.
Acknowledge me!
Best game of his career.
Yeah.
Five catches, 74 yards, touchdown to close out the first half. And look, man, they're going to get Nico Collins back here pretty soon, but they have no Stephon Diggs. If John Metchie turns into option number three with a Tank Dell Nico Collins offense, CJ Stroud figures some things out and stops doing some of the things he was doing last night.
Yeah.
This would be really nice. John Metchie was a second-round pick. If he starts living up to that, or even close to it, that's a real nice development for this team. But in the moment, I'm really happy that he had the game that he did last night on national
TV. Yeah, I heard you guys interview with him in the post game. I was happy for you guys that you got John Metchie because in a game like that, it's hard to necessarily get somebody who, even if they had a really good game, it's a weird vibe. Where with John Metchie, I think you can separate the individual performance from the team and say, all right, look, this is a really cool thing that a guy that's had a really tough road was able to be a part of and didn't end up in a victory, but it wasn't for lack of effort or production by John.
You're reading my mind. As that game was slowly slipping away, I'm like, all right, we need somebody who's still going to be in good spirits.
I'm glad you didn't get Jalen Petrie, because I would be afraid that Jalen Petrie might be the defensive player, just not because he's Jalen Petrie or anything, but just the defensive player that at some point might break and be like, well, how long do you expect us to hold up? We can't keep covering up everybody's errors all the time.
That would have been incredible.
Yeah.
Petrie was the second choice to be on the postgame.
Right. Yeah, no, and it would have been Petrie wouldn't have said that.
No, he wouldn't.
But I worry that with any defensive player, there might be a little bit of a seepage of discontent from
within. Okay, well, let's talk about that. I know it's acknowledge me, but as long as you're bringing it up, like, this is bad with the offense in the second half of these games.
Right.
The defense has continued, and this is not something that has been this phenomenon over the last 4 weeks where they haven't scored a touchdown in the second half of games. The Texans offense, the defense has bailed the offense out all year long.
The defense is basically like their coworker that they rely upon is a heroin addict.
Yeah.
And boy, he's awesome when he's there and he's sober and all of that. But boy, oh boy, when he falls off the wagon, that's what happens in the second half. They're like, oh, they did heroin in the locker room
again.
Great.
And eventually you resent guys doing heroin when they're your coworker.
Even though you're trying to remember, look, the guy's got issues, you know, he's got a problem, and I got to remember that. But after a while, it just gets to the point where you can't help it.
Right.
It's ruining your life.
Yep.
I might as well be addicted to heroin at this point.
Yeah.
I'm going to work on that this afternoon. Listeners, tell me.
Developing an addiction.
Where's the best heroin shop in town? Is that legal yet? Right. What the hell's going on?
Okay.
I thought there were going to be changes.
I was told. Okay, real quick text of the 5-Hour Energy fan line. The non-call on the pass interference on 3rd and 4 killed us.
Yeah.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
That did not kill you. That was a bad call or a bad non-call. What killed you was not scoring in the second half of football games.
Right. Oh, did you expect
that? What killed you. You're an excuse maker.
Yeah, don't worry. What part of the Texans in the second half made you feel that they would have done a damn thing with converting that first down?
Well put.
I don't know if Kaimi would have made that field goal from 25 yards.
Yeah, and Texter, I'm sorry, I don't mean to take it out
Sean,
on you.
Sean, you're brutally assaulting that Texter.
I'm so mad today. I'm so angry today.
You need your heroin.
I am so, I do. I'll go with you. I mean, when you, if somebody texts you where to get some, I'll go with
Byron's filling in as a producer today, and he says that I'm very popular with his church group, his Bible study group, and I'm like, oh, gosh.
Hold on, Byron, get on the microphone.
Byron, I feel
What's
like,
up?
Can you need to tell me, start texting me whenever anybody in your Bible study group thinks maybe I pushed it a little too far.
No, I got you.
Okay.
Next time.
They know that I'm speaking, you know, not literally about being a heroin addict or going out and trying to score.
I'm going to acknowledge your Bible study group, Byron.
Yeah. I know.
Coolest Bible study group of all time.
I do. Whenever I push it with, like, the football gods or something, there's always somebody, like a pastor, will text in and be like, hey, guys, everybody's got to lighten up a little bit. You know,
right.
Obviously, you don't literally worship the football gods. They know that I'm not lighting candles in some altar at home.
Yeah, right.
As far as they know.
let's acknowledge Jimmy Ward.
Yes.
Acknowledge
Henry
me.
Henry Toa Toa.
Acknowledge me.
Mar Lassiter.
Acknowledge me.
And Kalen Bullock.
Acknowledge me.
Those are the four guys that got the picks last night. Defense did their job, man. Mm. Turned the ball over. Turned the hell over out of the Detroit Lions last
and
night.
And by the way, I'll acknowledge... Kalen Bullock especially just in that was not a good look on... I don't know if you saw on tele. I watched the second half on TV over at KHOU.
Yeah.
It wasn't Bullock, Lassiter. Boy, I'm losing it. When Lassiter left the game with his concussion.
Oh, yeah, with Jimmy Ward?
Yeah. When Lassiter left the game...
Jimmy went helmet to helmet.
But when he left the game, when he was walking through to the tunnel, it looked... And I don't think at that point they'd reported that it was a concussion. It just looked like he was almost... like convulsing or something. Like he was hunched over with his arms around, like hugging himself with his head down.
Man.
Yeah.
He's so key to what they
scary.
Do.
You know, and that's the absence of Lassiter after he went out. It made it really, really hard to blitz.
Yeah.
And I think that D'Amico at that point, I know that people are going to accuse him of playing bend but don't break, but then ultimately breaking. I do think their hands were tied a little bit on how aggressive they could be with the guys that they had out on the field who could or could not play man defense or be trusted to play man.
Yep.
So apologies to anybody that got alarmed about Kalen Bullock's health. I was thinking of Lassiter.
Oh, he's fine. Yeah, but yeah. Lassiter, yeah, dude, that was, if friendly fire. Jimmy Ward got him, but boy, it looked like Jimmy Ward was going in. Like, he was trying to tackle Kalen Bullock, Kamar Lassiter.
Jimmy Ward's a version. There are linebackers like that who, like, it doesn't matter as a defensive tackle. You're like, these guys don't care what they hit. They're going to hit something.
It's Jimmy Ward.
And, yeah, Jimmy Ward is that guy. He's like a linebacker who's going to come up and hit something, which is admirable in a lot of respects. But every now and then you get friendly fire.
Fire. And that's a tough one, man. Like, that's... Oof. All right.
This stress ball isn't doing crap for me.
Are you still stressed?
I'm still stressed. My headache went away, though, so maybe it's got something to it.
All right. Well, that's good. Keep doing your thing.
Squeeze your balls, everybody.
If
you're stressed out over this, just go ahead and get yourself a
Is your Bible study group listening right now, Byron?
I don't know. I haven't texted them.
Okay. Yeah. Find out.
I would advise going out and getting blue balls and squeezing them.
Okay.
This is what I have right here. It's a blue stress ball.
A blue ball. Yeah. Get a blue ball.
It's a Mix 96.5 stress ball.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Jalen Milroe.
Acknowledge
Katie's
me.
Own. Boy, that was fun this weekend. Have you watched any college football this weekend? Alabama. And that was fun for me. I know there's a lot of LSU people out there that were very disappointed in the outcome of that game. Me, I root against Brian Kelly every chance I get. 42-13 was the final score.
With the tiger in attendance. Ooh.
Yeah, that's very disrespectful.
Now I know what the animal cruelty people were concerned about.
PETA had to be
angry.
They're
like, we've got no problem with the cage or anything like that. It's that you're subjecting him to this.
Jalen Milroe had 12 carries for 185 yards in that game.
Mm.
He had a 39-yard touchdown in the first half.
Mm.
He had a 72-yard touchdown in the second half.
Ooh.
And LSU, who was coming off of a bye week last week, leading into this game, got run off the field at Tiger Stadium. Here's Brian Kelly after the game.
If you're watching the game, you're like, what did these guys do for 2 weeks? Like, we have a scheme to stop the quarterback. We did not get that done. So I take responsibility for it.
All right, so Brian Kelly taking responsibility. I don't know what they do there. He's in year three. He's winning games. He's doing what he did at Notre Dame. He's going to win 9 or 10 games this year, but he's going to lose all the ones that matter.
Right, right. He hasn't even won all his games yet either. That will remain
over and over again.
Proverbially true.
Oh,
yes.
My God. He said that when he got introduced as head coach at that basketball game, and I haven't even won all my games yet.
You're cheering for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Listen, for anybody unacquainted with Sean,
family.
Sean T. Pendergast, he's a Golden Domer.
Yeah.
And that's where his hatred of Brian Kelly comes
probably
from.
Probably fits better in the petty cast.
There was
tomorrow.
Something, Sean, I have to confess this to you. I want this offensive line to be tougher and grittier. There was a moment last night when Blake Fisher was out there, and I like Blake Fisher. I think he's got a lot of upside. He's still a bit of a project.
Yeah.
I like Jarrett Patterson.
Yeah.
But it's kind of the opposite of like how, you know, really, to win a Super Bowl, it's ideal to have at least one Samoan offensive lineman. I also feel that to have a good offensive line, a tough and gritty offensive line, might be hard to do with two Notre Dame guys on the offensive line. I don't know.
About?
I like, feel
They're
like,
a
okay,
factory.
Where are you going to go to take me to some meeting for my 401k or something? But I don't need this many fancy lab nerds out there.
I'm doing some research today now. I'm going to find out all the Notre Dame. I can't believe what I'm hearing right now.
It was like when we had too many Stanford guys on the team. It was like, all right, okay, one Stanford guy is enough. But come on, we had like three at one point.
I don't know whether to take that as an insult or a compliment. Like on the academic side, I'm like,
yeah.
We're Stanford.
No, but I don't think both of Jarrett Patterson and Blake Fisher both have the potential to be the right kind of guys.
Yes.
A tougher, grittier bunch than the offensive line as it's currently comprised.
Got that right. The Colorado Buffaloes.
Acknowledge
I am willing
me.
To eat crow.
Yeah.
Nobody's been
Good.
More critical of Coach Prime than me. But they go into Lubbock and they're trailing at halftime in that game, but they win. They beat Texas Tech. They are 7-2, and thanks to Kansas's upset of Iowa State, Colorado now controls its own destiny to play in the Big 12 championship game. And if they win that, they're in the college football playoff. They might make the college football playoff anyways if they keep winning games.
Right.
So that's a good football team.
It is a good football team with a coach that was very polarizing last year just because he was so damn bombastic about a team that hadn't genuinely done anything.
Yeah.
And this year, Saturday felt like the point at which everybody had, I think a lot of people had to acknowledge and recognize, like, okay, yes, he's genuinely doing something of substance this year.
Yeah.
It's pretty damn impressive. He's got a couple of the best players in the country, but he's doing the most with them. Literally the most, because one of them's playing like 90 snaps a game.
Travis Hunter.
Credit to, good job.
Colorado Buffaloes, man. I got to acknowledge.
Have people been up in your mentions with receipts
not at all.
Or anything?
No, they haven't. It's weird. Colorado's a weird thing.
Well, because Colorado fans flipped on him, too, in the offseason.
A little
so they've
bit.
All got their own receipts.
And that, but and he hasn't, it's been a month and a half since we've had a soundbite from him. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
what
they've turned into is just your garden variety, above average, good college football story.
It's kind of like he's worked into the golden years of Stalin, I think, where, you know, Stalin had killed enough of the intellectuals and writers and everything off that for a while there weren't any issues. That's
same
right.
Exact
he's
thing.
Just he banned enough people from his press conference that now he just goes in and probably he's got his lackeys that he can kind of tell what to write and everything's
all
cool.
Oh, that is true. Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Banning. They can't ask questions. All right, last one. Didn't know who this guy was until yesterday. He's the interim head coach of the New Orleans Saints. His name is Darren Ritzy.
Acknowledge me!
Saints win yesterday. They were 2-7. They had won their first two games of the year.
Mm-hmm.
They lost 7 in a row. They fired Dennis Allen. This Ritzy character. Now, I'm going to admit, I have not listened to this cut yet. I've only seen the tweets with some transcripts of it on here. But I'm like, you know what? This feels like I need to acknowledge this quote, this cut from Darren Ritzy. Interim head coach of the New Orleans Saints, talking about his first day on the job and how cool it felt to win a game.
No, man, I'm a pretty open guy, so this is how my day started. I get down here to the stadium, I get down here to Superdome, I go in the head coach's locker room, which, you know, I've never used before, right? So here I am early in the morning, I go to the bathroom, and this is how my day started. I clogged the toilet. And I'm like, this is going to be a crappy day, pun intended. And so we listen. I'm like, okay, this is not really a great start to the day. Here we go. And so, I'm not really feeling like a head coach of an NFL team right now. So I'm like, really? This is really how we're going to start my day? So, listen, there was moments during the game. You know, I'm so wrapped up in the, in my routine. There was moments today where like I'm almost forgetting. I'm just going through my routine and I'm kind of forgetting that I'm the head coach a couple times. All true.
Okay, now this would be my advice.
Yeah.
If I were Darren Ritzy's agent, I would say, if you want to be a head coach in the NFL someday,
yeah,
Stop being so honest.
Right. Don't be at least don't be graphically honest about certain topics.
Graphically honest about your whatever bathroom situation.
Yeah.
You had. And then being so honest about how frazzled and nervous you were.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Just the inept you were at times, remember? Yes. It'd be like a surgeon coming out of the operation and talking to the family and be like, I'll tell you what, he's alive and apparently thriving? Big surprise to me, because honestly, I didn't know what was going on in there. I was just hacking.
I mean, in a football
sense,
was
just hacking and suturing anything I could see. Dude, and lo and behold, he's alive.
In a football sense, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how he did it. You know, Atlanta's a good football team.
Okay, and everything was cool.
That's a hell of a tumor I had to remove.
Just as a warning, I forgot to wash my hands. Okay, so you know, we'll keep an eye on him. We'll keep an eye on him.
Dude,
but
clogging the toilet and then crappy day, pun intended.
I love him.
Him. He's your guy.
It was. Remember when Cully was first basically.
He
was an interim coach, but named the coach.
Right.
And hired beforehand. Remember when he had forgotten his challenge flag?
Yes.
And one of the first games, it was a nice endearing story at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
But then as stories like that continue to mount up about various things, the worst, let's relive some other misery for just a brief moment.
So we can appreciate where we are
At the end, it was, I believe it was on the final coaches show that David Cully did with Mark and John.
Yeah.
When he was talking about things that he'd learned during the season, and this is a guy who'd been in the NFL for decades, right, was a passing game coordinator for the Ravens in a year where they passed for like 4 yards. The guy that had been in the league for decades said one thing that he learned was that sometimes you can go faster tempo to provide a spark on offense.
All right.
I'm like, what the hell?
I'm glad you're bringing this up today, because now I'm like, okay, they lost the Lions last night. They're a disaster in the second half of football games offensively, but it's not that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Now, at least with New Orleans, that's a genuine. I like the relatability of it, him telling a real guy story, but it feels kind of like that interim coach up in Cleveland. The Baker Mayfield wanted to keep.
Oh, Freddie Kitchens?
Freddie Kitchens. Remember? That was like, hey, this is the guy I want to drink a beer with.
This guy
is a fit for the city. This is the guy.
Definitely see Freddie Kitchens bragging about clogging the toilet, for sure. All right, that was Acknowledge Me. We acknowledge big performances, really big performance from Darren Ritzy in the bathroom.
He did. Good for him.
Huge performance by him.
He's either getting a lot of fiber or not enough.
Yeah,
It's one or the other.
Roger Goodell wants to take this thing super global. I need to pick a travel destination for us next year. We'll do that. We'll wrap things up. We'll hand it over to John Harris and Mark Vandermeer. We'll do that coming up next. All right, Payne and Pendergast, a few minutes left here. Roger Goodell, before the Germany game yesterday, he's the commissioner of the National Football League.
Mm.
Makes a lot of money. He's very wealthy.
The guy in the suits, is that him?
He's kind of casualed it up a little
bit. Oh, that's true, he is. He's trying to be the casual granddaddy.
Yeah.
There you go.
So he was kind of he was dressed down a little bit at the Germany game, the game in Munich yesterday morning between the Panthers and the Giants. Germany, you're welcome for us exporting Panther and Giant football to you.
Yes, it was like another we gave you another Treaty of Versailles. It was here you go. Yeah. You should be happy with this, right? Yeah, everything will be all cool.
There you go.
And no, we're sowing the seeds for the Third World War.
They even got overtime.
Yeah.
I mean, not much. They fumbled the ball, the Giants did, on the first series.
This is the problem. Back in the early days when we were trying to expand over to Europe and could become more global, most European football fans didn't know what they were watching. So, like, all right, that was whatever. They don't know any better. They cheer for the field goals and everything. There are a boatload of super knowledgeable European football. We had one of our Texans fans at the game last night.
Dennis from Hungary. He's from Budapest.
Yeah. Dennis knows what he's talking about.
Oh, yeah, he does.
If he goes to a game in Germany or in London, like, he knows if he's watching crap. Yeah. And that's what we're giving him now.
You're giving me Bryce Young and Daniel Jones. Don't feed this to me and tell me it's filet mignon.
And now we're forcing it on him now. It's a damn opium wars. Yep. We're like, no, you will consume this.
Right. So that was.
You bastards.
So it was Germany yesterday. And you know what? I should be the bigger man again, like I was with Colorado. Let me acknowledge Bryce Young real quick.
Acknowledge me.
Won two games in a row for the first time in his career.
Boom.
Right. Roger Goodell sat down with Colleen Wolfe of the NFL Network yesterday morning, and they've got big plans for international stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We are definitely going to Spain.
Okay,
we announced that. We expect to return to Mexico City.
Okay.
We expect to return to Brazil.
Ooh.
We will certainly be back in the UK.
Love that.
And we're also looking at the potential of another game in the UK area, uh-huh, in Ireland, possibly.
What?
Yes.
In Ireland?
That's a possibility.
All right. So Dublin, Ireland getting tacked on. Now, of those, and I'm going to throw Germany in there, too, because that's where they were doing this interview from. I'm going to assume Germany is still in the mix here. I believe in that interview at one point he also said their expectation is to have 8 international games a year, which is fun on a couple of levels. Most of all, it's fun if you're a football watcher. This is several games you're going to get to watch at 8:30 in the morning over breakfast. That was fun for me yesterday. You and I don't get to do that. Typically, we're doing the pregame show for the Texans while a London or Germany game is going on. Man, that was fun to sit down in front of the TV with a little breakfast and watch a little football at 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if it was Bryce Young and Daniel Jones.
That is nice. That is. I don't even know what the. Can you Google right now what time is it in Singapore?
Yes.
Because that's the one that I'd love to see him go over to Asia. Figure out which country in Asia is most likely to really, or like who's got the highest NFL fan base.
9:49 p.m.
Okay.
Right now.
So we can get, so if they played a night game over there, we could have football at, like, you know, 7 a.m., 6 a.m.
kind of,
in the morning. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be hell, traveling across the international dateline in the middle of a season. I feel like the NFLPA would have words, but it would be fun. I think it'd be fun. As somebody who's a fan of a team that has grown an international fan base with the Rockets, with the Astros, it's kind of nice having all of these people from foreign lands that,
Eight games is a nice even number because it's 16 teams. Yeah. So, like, I think the thinking is
everybody can have an international.
Every
game.
Other year, you'll have an international.
Yeah.
Game, right. So, of all those places Goodell just listed, let's pretend for a second that we found a sponsor to send Payne and Pendergast to the game. Which one would you most want to go watch the Texans play? Of all those places, I'll list them again for people in their cars. Mexico City, Spain, Brazil, London, Dublin, Ireland.
Yes.
I'm going to say Germany. He didn't list Germany there, but I'm going to assume Germany's still in the mix here moving forward.
What was the one you said before Dublin?
London.
London, okay.
Yeah.
Ireland sounds appealing just because I've never been and I'd like to go. But Brazil still holds that appeal to me.
You're a Brazil guy.
I am. I am. That's what people have always said. Seth, it was like you were born in Brazil.
Yeah.
There's
the wax and everything.
It's like you pulse. Yeah. Like you've just got this. Yeah. I could just see you up dancing half naked at Carnival.
Yeah. For sure.
That's what people have always said about me.
Yeah.
So I think, it's a fit. It's a fit.
Brazil would be your. Mine would be Dublin just because, one, that's my homeland. I've never been before.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Irish.
One thing they love when you go to Ireland is telling everybody, hey, I'm Irish. Yeah, they love that. You should do that.
Should I?
And they'll be like, no, you're not.
The only thing worse is if I told...
Welcome back, the conquering hero. Woo!
The only thing worse is I told the truth, which is I'm half Irish, actually.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But that would be fun. There's no language barrier either. I'm very impatient when it comes to language barriers.
Well, okay, it's hard to understand Irish people speaking English, but yeah, it is.
It's definitely hard for me to understand German people speaking German.
You're right, but it's not that far off. If depending on who you're talking to, anybody from the UK, good luck. You know, yeah, if true. It's, yeah, unless they went to the finest boarding schools, it's a tough listen.
So you're Brazil, I'm Dublin in this yeah. whole thing. Gotcha. All right, so boy, people are angry on this text page, boy. They are picking out their bits and pieces from this game yesterday.
Yeah, we probably haven't just spent enough time railing into them. You know, you did a post-game show immediately afterwards, and then you know, we both got very little sleep last night, and you come in thinking, all right, I don't want to completely fly off the handle and lose my mind because I don't know how well I'm functioning right now. But look, this is an abomination. You contrast what the Texans have done over the last four games, where they've lost three of four games, and then you look at the depth chart with or without Nico Collins and Will Anderson. Like, that doesn't, and no, this team has been underperforming all year long. They were operating like a 500 football team as they amassed that impressive start, and yet, like, this is evidence that, yeah, that's what they are, including. Okay, it came down to a field goal versus the Lions. That doesn't tell the story.
No.
It was a complete non-performance in the second half for 2 weeks in a row now. They've showed up and in the second half completely fallen apart. I give the defense a little bit more of an excuse last night because, yeah, the injury to Lassiter did hurt. And I'm not making excuses for injuries, right? But it happened within the game, and I think it changed what D'Amico Ryans could and could not do. And that also, I mean, the offense comes out in the third quarter yet again, doesn't just not score in the third quarter, but they throw two interceptions yeah. in the third quarter. The defense bails the offense out both times after those interceptions. And, yeah, the dam's going to break eventually against a team like the Lions. Yeah. This offense is just a nightmare.
Yeah.
There's just nothing about this. There's other teams in the league. Before you say, well, Nico's been injured, do you know how many other teams in the league don't have a Nico Collins caliber wide receiver, and yet in the last 4 weeks they've scored a touchdown in the second half?
Yes.
Did the Panthers score a touchdown in the second half?
I'd have to go look.
Probably. Yeah, that's what I'll say.
Probably.
Sometime in the last 4 weeks, I'm sure they have.
I'm guessing they have too. All right, Seth, antibodies team.
Why are we going?
We got to go. We got to hand things over.
Oh, all right. Okay, bye. Oh, good. I'm excited to hear John and Mark on this.
I am too.
I want to hear John's breakdown of
breakdown.
All this.
Yep. All right. So we are done. We're out of time. We'll hand things over to Mark Vandermeer and John Harris. It's a Texans Monday on Texans Radio. Keep it tuned here all day long. In the Loop at 10, The Drive at 2. And we got Monday Night Football tonight, Dolphins and Rams. So keep it tuned here all day.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.